Well, we hear the beginning of Mark's gospel. We hear him telling us about John the Baptist, that voice out in the desert who is preparing or called to prepare a way for the Lord, certainly calling the people to repentance to make straight the path of the Lord. And it's certainly a reminder for all of us that we're called to make sure that the Lord has a clear path into us as persons, to get rid of all that clutter that's in the way, so that we can in a greater way trust in the Lord, know how powerful the Lord is in our lives and how powerful he is certainly to forgive us from our sins. And so John the Baptist is out there in the desert, and all the inhabitants of the Jerusalem countryside, as we heard in the gospel, and all those in Jerusalem were going out to see John the Baptist. And you kind of can wonder, well, why were they all going out there? And certainly, you know, John was quite the character. I mean, if you've had someone out in, you know, our world, modern day, you know, dressed in the camel's hair and a belt and eating wild honey and locusts, it'd be kind of like, hey, we got to go see this guy. But it seems like it might be more than that. And this is important, because what is John saying? And what does Mark refer to him? It's a voice crying out in the desert. And Mark quotes the prophet Isaiah. So we have to go back, and I'm going to go do a little history here on what's happening back in Isaiah's time. Because we heard that part of chapter 40 in the prophet Isaiah in that first reading. So if you go to the prophet Isaiah, the book of the prophet Isaiah, and you go and you look at the previous books, chapter 39 and 38 and 37 and 36, etc., you see that the prophet Isaiah, if you go to Kings, the book of Kings, so there's sort of the book of Kings and the prophet Isaiah, there's overlap in there. There's, because the prophets are described and then the kings are described separately. So if you go to the book of Kings, it describes that the prophet Isaiah, again, is prophesying during the reign of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is one of the, he is the best king of Judah. Now, that, a little history here. When David was king, there was just one Israel. It was one area. The 12 tribes of Israel were under David. And then David had a son named Solomon. And Solomon really started to drift away from the Lord. And then Solomon had two sons, and those two sons split the kingdom apart. So you had the northern kingdom, and then the southern kingdom. So these kingdoms are split apart. And in King Ahaz was the king, he started reigning in Judah. So you have, remember, you have two kings now. You have a king in the northern kingdom, a king in the southern kingdom. King Ahaz was in the southern kingdom. And oh, by the way, King Ahaz, his son is King Hezekiah. So King Ahaz is in the southern kingdom, and the northern kingdom send their troops down to attack Jerusalem. Okay, they're kind of like, why are you guys fighting amongst yourselves? It's like brothers kind of, you know, going at each other. So what Ahaz does is he calls up to the Assyrians, who are power at that time, and asks Assyrians, to attack the northern kingdom. So that's what happens. The Assyrians attack the northern kingdom, Aram, and the king of the northern kingdom, and destroys them, takes it over, basically. So then, as a result of that, you know, Ahaz is kind of has an allegiance to the king. You know, it's interesting that Ahaz doesn't trust in the Lord. He trusts in other men to take care of his kingdom. That's important. We'll get to that a little later here. So Ahaz goes up, and he actually goes into the temple up in Damascus, basically up in Syria, and looks at their temple and takes what's in the temple and kind of modifies the altars down in his own kingdom, the altar in the temple. So you think about that. He's kind of desecrating the temple, Ahaz is. So Ahaz kind of goes out of favor with the Lord. It's not good. So when he dies, Ahaz dies in 716 B.C. He ruled from 732 to 716 B.C. basically. Ahaz's son Hezekiah takes over. And what Hezekiah does right away is he starts cleaning house. He basically has reforms and gets things in better order with the Lord. He actually rebels against the Assyrians. And so as a result of that, now there's kind of tension between Hezekiah and the king of Assyria. And so Hezekiah ends up paying a ransom to the king of Assyria to try to not have him attack him. And then the king of Assyria wants Hezekiah to have troops to help him, the king of Assyria, go and take out his enemies, one of them being Egypt. And Hezekiah says, I'm not going to do that. And so as a result of that, the Assyrian king comes down and starts attacking the southern kingdom, Hezekiah's kingdom. And eventually what happens is the Assyrian king gets to Jerusalem. And Hezekiah is like, hey, Lord, they're going to take over Jerusalem. I need your help. I need you to come and help us, Lord. It's interesting, you know, he doesn't go to Egypt or another power. Hezekiah turns to the Lord. He has faith and trust in the Lord. He knows the Lord's power. So what happens that night is that the angel of God comes and he destroys kills 185,000 Assyrian troops. 185,000. So you can imagine the Assyrian king looking like, I got to get out of here. And so that's what happens. The Assyrian king basically leaves Jerusalem, goes back up to Nineveh. You know, it's interesting that it seems like at that point the Assyrian empire kind of falls apart. Because 100 years later, after Hezekiah dies, the Babylonians come and take over Jerusalem. But it's interesting, too, that, you know, remember the incident in the Red Sea when Egypt was at the height of its power, and the Egyptians followed the Israelites into the Red Sea, remember that? And their whole army was wiped out. And the Egyptians, it seemed, never recovered as a kingdom from that. So here again, the Lord is, like, showing his power, and these Israelites, I mean, they would have seen this. They would have seen the God's power. And so King Hezekiah, then later on in his life, he ends up getting mortally ill. And he certainly prays to the Lord, and the prophet Isaiah is there prophesying and says to King Hezekiah that the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah and said, King Hezekiah, you're going to recover, and you're going to have 15 more years. And so that's what happens. And one of the other notes in this, and that is that the Babylonians sent an envoy to King Hezekiah, basically saying, we're glad that you're well. Although you wonder why they have, maybe they had some undercurrents of already thinking about dominating the world. But anyway, we have an example in King Hezekiah about him trusting the Lord, knowing the Lord is powerful. So this is the context with which Isaiah is prophesying and saying these things, you know, because again, this chapter 40 happens, it seems like happens in the Bible after this, but I think it kind of might have been prophecies during the reign of Hezekiah, it seems. So Isaiah is really saying, comfort, you know, the Lord is with you. You know, you've gone through a lot, and trust in the Lord, and have favor, you know, have trust and know the Lord's power. So I think, and then that brings us into John the Baptist. He's prophesying about this, and of course he's paving the way for the Lord, Jesus Christ, Lord incarnate. And it's interesting because what's happening in John the Baptist's time, it's the Romans who are in charge of the Israelites. They're kind of domineering over them. And some of the Israelites were looking for a political savior. But Jesus, of course, is not that. But you kind of wonder, you know, if all these people are going out and they hear about John the Baptist, it's like, hey, this is the new Isaiah. We're going to be liberated. We're going to be freed from the Roman tyranny. And so, but Jesus, again, doesn't come for that. He comes on the spiritual level to free us from sin, to save us. So, again, we're called, like Hezekiah, really to open ourselves up to the Lord. You know, it's like, Lord, help me to open myself up to you, to trust in you, to ask for your power, certainly your power in forgiving my sins. So something for us really to step back and look at as we continue Advent. Lord, just help me to grow in the trust of you. Help me to ask for forgiveness of my sins. Help me to be healed. Help me to focus on you, to put my trust in you, Lord.